And I guess I should ask, has there been someone that's kind of designated as a speaker for the group or not? Okay. Go ahead, sir. Give us your full name and address.
Good afternoon, everyone. Mike Farr, PFARR, Business Manager for St. Jude the Apostle Church. All right. I've heard some statements that I have made that I don't think are completely accurate, so I will tell you what I really said. Let me start by saying the church is not against the development. We are not opposed of it. It's been said many times that we're not opposed to the development. We are opposed of Route 1 turning into Tulip Drive as being the access. It's very simple. It's a very, very limited road. It's more like somebody's driveway than a state road, but I'm sure it is a state road. There's no doubt about it. I will also make the statement, or I did not make the statement, that, why do we get the state police to run the lights and things like that? I can tell you why. There was a fatality there many years ago that got that light installed, that when church lets out, you're right, the access is to and from there. It's very, very dangerous. And again, it's not about the development. It's about safety of the community, the parishioners, and the vacationers. So let the record be clear on that. We also have the gentleman said that I made the statement that he can't see how people would cut through. And I will state that I've sit there, I've almost been hit several times because people cut through here and go right on through. Now, why they do that, I'm not a psychologist. But I can tell you that math says the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And I can tell you that people are generally lazy, and if they are backed up, they cut through. Why they do it, I don't stop and ask them. I just keep moving. Do they do it every day? No, I can't say that. But they do it, and I've had chances where I just pull out thinking, why look to my right? I'm in a parking lot. So let that record be recorded. And then there was some issue about why we don't put up signs, why we don't put up bumpers and parking bumps and what have you. We're a church. We're not a business. We don't have money to install all this stuff. And I'm sure you all are familiar with the snow of the last 2 years and how it's really damaging parking lots and things like that. Well, if you install these humps or bumps, snow plows play havoc with them. They tear them right up. And who pays for it? We do. So do we go out and put all in trespassing signs? What do I tell the parishioners? Don't come in, you're trespassing. So don't make it sound like it's our issue. It's just reasonable issues. And again, we're not opposed to the development. And then let me state where the gentleman said, oh, this is going to be a public trail now. So this is the only access to get to that trail? You're not telling me traffic's going to increase? If that's a public access to a public trail, they'll not take that into consideration? Was it part of it? You're talking about summer months when you can't even get in and out of that area? All we're asking for is another access. It's a simple point. Very simple. It's another access. Let's see, are there any more I can say that I can be restated? The petition. He said the petition was all hogwash, didn't mean anything. And all we said was traffic. And traffic creates dangerous situations. It's about time. It's about safety. We have quite a few parishioners at our church. We have over 4,000. So it's a large church. We have a lot of activities that go on time and time all week. It's not just the weekends. So again, you're talking about the safety of parishioners, community members, what have you. Let's see, what shows? Oh, I think, why is it cut through parking? I think I've touched on all the misquotes of me, I believe, so I think I've addressed it quite properly. So thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you. Next, there's a gentleman here. Come forward, give us your name and address, please.
My name's Kenneth Charlone. I live at 17477 Taramino Place in the development that the Learning Council has said wants to restrict them building. We're not opposed to them building. We're opposed to them coming on to Tulip and building on the gut. I have taken the liberty of calling DENRAC, Division of Water, which has jurisdiction over the title gut. It is classified as a title gut. Had Sandy hit the Delaware River instead of blissfully taking out New Jersey, the gut would have flooded. They're proposing taking, if I may, this section, putting a bridge across the title gut, across the stream and the wetlands, which, according to Scott and Dominic, they thought you would scrap that idea, and they said no one has come to DELRAC with this proposal or has solicited from the Division of Water the approvals necessary to even build, much less fill in, the wetlands on the tidal gut. That was a conversation I had for 2.5 hours yesterday. Today, we spoke with Kathy, all right? The state of Delaware wasn't even really aware of the, until the project, as far as this goes, the remedial. There is arsenic. There is oil sand. The oil sand may very well have permeated, according to Kathy, into the groundwater. Yes, they will state what needs to be done to do the remediation, but they do not issue permits. That is for the Division of Water. They control the gut. I spoke with Dominic there. He looked at the overlay. He said, you're definitely right. The headwaters of the Black Hog Gut go right up to 5 points. They're proposing filling in this area.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't realize that. That is all recessed down.
If you've been
That's quite low. I know it.
That's low.
Yeah.
That is part of the floodplain for the creek. They're going to do away with that. Now, I happen to live here. Okay?
Yes.
I have a small problem for the county commissioners. Sandy hits, or a Sandy-type storm hits Delaware Bay, water backs up, comes down the gut, comes through here. They built up the area there. Instead of the water dissipating down, I'm going to have a flood in my house. Am I now going to have to get flood insurance, and is the developer going to pay for it? Will Shell pay for my flood insurance?
Could you ask the witness to address the council when you line up this?
All right, who's going to pay for it? Who's going to take care of us in Taramino if this gets done? Who's going to assure that we aren't going to get flooded out? Right? So, I mean, DENRAC has not approved this. DENRAC doesn't even know about it, Division of Water. All right? They're skeptical about the bridge going across the gut. As I was told by Dominic, we thought they gave that idea up and were seeking other entrance and egress. Number two, this is not owned by the Penn Central. The Penn Central went out of business. I know I've dealt with them in highway safety years ago. It is owned by Delaware Transit, which is the state. Therefore, we could petition the state to possibly put another connection over the new road
rather than come to Tulip. As I also stated, for the last 20 years, I've been in heavy truck safety. Dealt with a little police like UPS, FedEx, you know, Keenan Advantage Group, Hazmat.
Could you go back to the podium if you're finished with the map?
I just want to show one thing. It is far less dangerous, given the truck traffic, to go to Old Orchard than to come this way onto Route 1. Reason, going northbound may not be as big an issue. It will be an issue, but it may not be as big. But traffic coming out and going southbound, as you mentioned, clearing the 60-mile-an-hour crossing the bridge.
That's what they do.
Somebody who's age-restricted coming out this way, and I happen to be 68, decent 68. I still ride a motorcycle, thank you very much. But even so, coming out, when they're doing 60 coming down, and the traffic signs haven't worked.
Sir, could you come back to the microphone?
Sure. Yes. Coming southbound, you are going to turn around, and you're going to see fatalities. You're going to see accidents. Because people coming out, going southbound to Rehoboth Beach, to Dewey, to Bethany, to the malls, you have to go southbound. No light, no real way to get there, no merge into the southbound on Route 1, has to be an accident. I've dealt with heavy truck. The transportation going in and out of Atlantic Cement would be far less dangerous to a driver than getting on a Route 1 during summer season, if you can get on a Route 1 going southbound, first of all. Second of all, if traffic is flowing heavily there, you're going to have to floor your car to come out of Tulip to get on a Route 1, unless a traffic light is put in. And then if a traffic light is put in, how do we get out of Taramino when you have traffic backed up between the church, between Dutch Acres, Taramino, and now 147-unit development? Would anybody be willing to give us another way in and out of Taramino onto maybe Nassau or further down on Route 1 so that we can get in and out of our homes? I don't mind the development. I think development is needed. I think it's necessary. Please, don't, for the Hudson family and for Shell, don't think we're fighting you on building. We're arguing is, do you really need the 13 houses on this side of the gut? Do you really need to come in on Tulip to tie in a Tulip and put the traffic on what is considered one of the worst roads in the state of Delaware, the most heavily traveled road in Sussex County? You have 5 points down there that they're already, if you read the Cape Gazette, they're DelDOT's already talking about, we got to do something down there. You've got the exit on a Nassau, and right behind it, you've got Tulip. What's going to happen? I'm asking you as a resident of the county, legally, maybe the developer is right. He's an attorney, I'm not. What the regs may say, what is morally and ethically right for the citizens, for the parishioners of St. Jude, for Dutch Acres, and for the residents of Taramino? What about our safety? I don't want to go to my wife's funeral because somebody clobbers her when she's trying to get down to the Food Lion or down to Concord Pet, getting out on a Route 1 going left, going southbound. I dread that. It's bad enough to do it in the dead of winter, much less the summer from Memorial Day to Labor Day. You all know this. I'm making an appeal to the council. Please, don't stop their development. Let them develop, but let them develop sanely. Stay off of Tulip. Don't come into Tulip. Find another way. Even if you have to buy access with Atlantic Cement, even if you have to go to Delaware Transit and get a crossing across the tracks, find another way. Don't flood me out. Don't let those 13 houses, whatever dollar amount they're going to get selling them, please, don't put the burden of me in a flood that I'm going to lose my home.
Okay, thank you. Someone else would like to speak? Yes, Mrs. Truitt.
Helen Truitt, member of Inland Bays, and work very hard for our tidal wetlands. There is a great deal of phosphorus, and that's something that we should consider when we're building any place because of the amount of farming that has been done in this area. This is a tidal wetland. This is land that should not fill in this water. Also, trees surrounding this water, you're going to put up beautiful, as I refer to them, Christmas trees. It really breaks my heart to see them go in and bulldoze a woodland out for the purpose of putting up a few houses when the trees there would make it much more beautiful. The development, there was no answer to what are you going to do with the trees you chopped down, guys. I didn't hear any answer to that this time. I don't like to see them run through and made sawdust. And that's what we've been doing with all of our developments, just chopping a tree down and just turning it into sawdust.
If I may, what would you suggest that?
I would suggest that this property, that area around the water, remain like it is. It's beautiful, natural wetlands. The water is from, to say where it comes, the Red Mill Pond out into the bay, the little islets that run under the land, they drain in that direction. Therefore, this should not be disturbed. And they say that they're going to put a sidewalk, a road, and some houses along there. There isn't that much room. I took a tape measure and went down and measured it. There's 54 feet from the property line at Tulip Drive to the water line for that Black Hog Creek that runs through there. It should not be disturbed, not at all. There's not enough room to put a road in there and a sidewalk and a road and a buffer. And we don't want to see those Christmas trees when we have that beautiful forest right there. And by the way, the petition you said was 18% of the signers were not members of the church. Because I went around and did a lot of the petitioning myself. Last Sunday is an example of what we're going to have this summer. I left the church at a time when no services were going on. Nothing was going on at the church. I just happened to have to go over to the church for a reason. And I left the church. It took me 15 minutes to get out on Route 1. And that is my honest to God's truth. It took 15 minutes. There's not enough room to get across Route 1 there. Now, the sidewalk, St. Jude gave up as much as was possible of their property when you refer to the 30 feet right in front of St. Jude's. Yes, we gave that up because we wanted the three-lane highway, street, road, whatever. I'm city girl. My husband gets mad at me when I say street. I'm supposed to say road. When the 30-foot road comes out from there.
Philadelphia.
And we came right, yeah, Philadelphia, that's right. The accent's still there a little bit. And we came right up to our property line and right onto our property line. We gave it up as much as, what is it called, the neutral between what the state owns and what the property owner owns.
I mean the right-of-way? Are you
referring right-of-way in there, yes. We gave up as much as we could so that we could get people out of the church without interfering with the people that lived at Terramina when the policeman was there and regulating the light. So I'm asking you, do not come out that way. Please do not disturb those trees, and please do not disturb that wetland.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Truitt. Is there anyone else? With this sign in front of me, I can't tell.
She's coming.
She's coming up.
Thank you, Mr. Fuqua.
Hi, I'm Tina Melchior, 104 Tulip Drive. Last, I think it was Monday, we met with the Preston Shell, and we're all okay. We've gotten a lot of answers. One thing I am upset about is no one's addressing the south side of Tulip Drive that so many people use. It's more of a problem with the church people leaving and going like NASCAR down in front of my house. So with the cul-de-sac on the south side and the light working, I think we'll all be okay with the development being put in there. We'd rather it wouldn't, but, you know, as it is, we're okay with it. You know, we just don't. Well, I know I am. I can't speak for everybody in my development, but no one else is talking. If they did do an accurate reading on the south side of Tulip Drive, the traffic would be a lot more coming in and out. So if they just did a cul-de-sac, had the light working at the front of St. Jude's, I think we'll all be okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? Yes, please, if you sign. There's someone back here. The next.
My name is Kirsten Sultan. I live on 113 Tulip Drive. And on the way over here, we met with Mr. Shell, and we are not against his development. But like we all say, Tulip Drive is really not the place to put it. You can all see there's a big, big commotion about it because it's a small road. But what I came up with on the way over, and I want you to look at that, it will impact the church, and that is if they close out Tulip Drive right up where you want to put the road, so it goes straight out to Route 1. And then the rest of Tulip Drive, where everybody lives on Tulip Drive, can use the south side.
Ma'am, could you address the council?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Tell us, not him.
Yeah. So everybody that live on Tulip Drive can use the south side. That would alleviate all our problems with the development that's coming along, because then they can all go straight out to Route 1 if they have to use Tulip Drive. We, of course, would like them not to, but it's a solution to a big problem, I think. It's just something I came up with on the way over.
Okay.
I would like for the council to consider that.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, I'm Mike Baines, and I live in Terramina. And I'm here to ask questions, actually. On the brownfield situation, the state's going to take care of it. Is the developer, do they have to notify potential buyers of those houses that that it was a brownfield?
Everett, do you have any good question?
To be honest with you, I don't know off the top of my head, but we'd need to look at that.
The county isn't required.
Right.
right? We're not having any requirements. But
I would say, I think...
Just wait a minute, we'll get to it.
Don't we post something?
The developer, I would say, from disclosures, would have to disclose that there is additional soils brought to the site.
Right.
I mean, that is something that has to be disclosed. To answer your question.
Just if I was a buyer, it's the kind of thing I would like to know, I think.
Sure.
We're not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, the plan there did not show where this black gut is, and it never showed whereabouts it would be amongst the buildings, unless I didn't interpret what was going on.
I believe it was shown on the plot.
Very big. There it is.
Yes.
Okay, and previously you were talking about a bridge being put over there, over that gut.
Are you going to get
there? Right.
To go right into Tulip, wasn't it?
It's on the map.
Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
It's on the
map. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the map. You see the roadway.
That's
it.
I missed it. I was sitting there and I can't see the map very well.
We're making changes to the chamber soon.
Now,
right?
Below the first group of buildings there, you know, or after Tulip Drive, there's a big drop-off, if you've ever been over there. It's like about a 10 or a 12-foot drop-off, which means that you've got to get traffic out of there to get off of Tulip.
You need to speak. Sorry, you need to speak to the microphone.
You need to make sure you press it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And so what you can do, you can ask the questions of the council. The council then has the opportunity to either ask the developer or ask the staff these questions, and before it makes a decision, take into consideration any of the questions that you have.
And Mr. Lang's keeping track of it, and
yes.
We had it on tape, so we're getting
okay.
We're covering pretty
but
good.
It seems like with, you know, a 10 or 12 foot rise there, you've got to go back quite a distance to get that grade so that people can negotiate it, especially in the winter. I'd like to make a comment that in the winter, you know, when there's snow on the ground, the Tulip Drive, even though it's a state road, mm-hmm. it's not their number one priority. They're up and down Route 1, but, you know, and I've spent time trying to get out of Tulip at times in the winter when there's been snow, and you can't gun into Route 1. You know, you've got to stop and review the traffic situation and then try and go. Well, of course, you've stopped, and now you can't get any traction. You have to roll back and try again. So, you know, that I think is a concern of mine, that that is not a good exit to get onto Route 1 from a safety standpoint in the winter. Do you, on the bridge situation, do you have to get any DLDOT approval, or even though it's a development?
Nearly everything that they do has to go through some kind of approval, either DENREC or either other state agencies to look at bridges or anything that's done in the development. It'll have to go through all the permitting process.
I think that's all I have,
wait,
ladies and gentlemen.
Can we get your name again?
Mike Baines.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baines.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak today? Let's see, the one gentleman here.
Good afternoon. My name is Sol Pels. I live at 17351 Fayette Street in the Villages of Five Points. First of all, I'd like to compliment Mr. Schell because he took the time to come out and speak to the residents of Taramino and Dutch Acres, and I joined them at the Dutch Acres invitation. I think both the developer and the council is faced with a very difficult decision. Safety is the paramount issue here. And as you probably know, the comprehensive plan, despite it saying this is a level one investment area, the comprehensive plan is not a partial plan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing illegal about having an AR1 in the middle of a high density plan. Having said that, this site is a very, very difficult site, And one question I would ask the council to maybe ask the developer, or perhaps the attorney, is why in 2005 didn't the developer consider entry on Tulip Drive? Okay. It was approved on the basis of a Mickey Mouse solution where you're going to have a traffic light going through a commercial industrial zone, but okay. Typically, in these projects, the DENREC permitting and all the other regulatory agencies that are designed to protect our safety and health come after the preliminary plan is approved by council. And in this case, I don't know the depth of the PLUS review, but you know, there seems to be a little bit difference of opinion about whether the Black Hawk got his title or is not title, whatever. It might be useful to actually bring in the DENREC authority before a decision, actually, because it may actually impact on the developer's idea of the true potential for the development from a business perspective. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I see one other lady here.
My name is Estelle Charlone. I'm at 17477 Terramino. I just wanted to make a comment on the brownfields. I talked to Kate this morning, and I have some experience with working with damaged properties. I spent 30 years with real estate and doing commercial and residential properties, and some of them unfortunately did have damage from pollutants. One of the things we discussed was that after the brownfields are cleaned out, they will be putting in monitoring poles, and she said that they would tap them, look at them quarterly. She wasn't sure how long they would last, because the important part of this isn't so much the fertilizer, which would be the arsenic salts, because that's kind of, they more or less stay in one place. You can scoop it up and put clean fill in. The more important part are the components of the oil that was dumped there. And that's what they're really looking to track, because some parts of oil, as it breaks down into its components, become more liquid, more, if it's, oil and sand gets sticky, but it will break down, and it can drift, and that's basically what she would be monitoring. And my concern is that, you know, the people who are buying in there, obviously they're going to see the wells that are monitoring this movement. And what I don't know, and I am going to research, is to whether or not that, you know, when you have a real estate contract, you have to reveal that there were brownfields, that there was remediation. But that may also continue on down the line to their future buyer. So, and my other comment would be on the traffic. When you're coming past Five Points, and if I'm coming going north on Route 1, there's an entrance onto from Five Points around that corner, and then there's a Goodyear, and you can make a right into Tulip. I don't normally make that right because the traffic is so severe coming off of Five Points that you can't do that. So I come up to the next one,
right,
which is by the church, and I do it there. But it's a very, and then I've got traffic, and I learned how to drive in Boston, so believe me, I can deal with anything. But they don't slow down. My signal's on, I'm slowing down, I pull off before that exit by the church into Tulip. Coming out of there, when you try, it's sort of a rush hour, but during the summer, it's you know, they're saying, well, it's an age-restricted development. However, we all drive, I'm over 65, we all drive. We may be more cautious, we may be more experienced, we all drive. it's just a very, it's a very, very dangerous situation. Thank you.
Ma'am, you referenced, you talked to Kate.
Kate Dumont. She's...
Durant.
I'm sorry, Kate Durant.
And she's with who?
Delrec.
Okay.
Yeah.
Denrec.
Okay. Yeah, I talked to her this morning for about an hour and a half.
Okay.
She's expert on the brownfield.
And understand that I have a chemistry, biology background, and 30 years in real estate. So we kind of could talk the same language.
Had we heard whether the community has wells or not?
Well, Dutch Acres does.
Yeah, they're on wells.
They're on wells. We discussed that. She said that the concern, of course, is the aquifer and how far that goes down. Initially, what they're looking at is the groundwater, because most, she's estimating that their wells are about 40 feet deep, which makes sense, because it's just so far you can go down there before you should hit salt water too. So there's a limitation as to what they can do. So, but you really have to, if they see that the oil, and this is what happens with gasoline stations, the components break down, and then if they see, and they can tell by the monitoring, exactly where they may not be able to tell what components there are, but they'll be able to see the track. If they see that it's going deeper into the ground and they have to put their monitoring deeper, then they're going to see whether or not it hits that aquifer. Mm-hmm. And what I asked her was, I says, okay, so somebody puts up this development, all sold out, roads are deeded to the town or however they want it to do. I'm not sure how they do it in Delaware. And the builder leaves. I said, what happens if there's damage then? What happens if the dissipation that they're expecting doesn't happen? What happens if there's more work that has to be done? What happens if we have to assist the people in Dutch Acres? She says, well, then the state will have to step in. And that's all of us.
Do you think this is going to create a more oil problem by having this development here?
I'm sorry?
Do you actually think this will create a more of an oil problem by having a development there?
I think the oil is more of an issue.
It's already there, right? So how's it going to be more by putting a development there?
I'm not understanding you. How is it going to be more?
How can you have more oil by putting a development there if the oil's already there? Will they be putting more oil in there?
No, it's not a question of putting more oil in there. It's a question...
Well, where's the problem come from?
The problem is that there was oil dumped there.
Yes.
It's my understanding, the way it was explained to me, is that they took an oil spill that happened on the beach.
Yes.
They scooped up the sand, and they dumped it there.
Yes.
The oil drifts. It doesn't necessarily say stuck to that sand by temperature, by water, any other environmental effects. So that's why they would monitor where and what it's going.
So if they dig down where they find this oil and it stops, that's the end of it, right?
They'd still monitor it. You can't always see it. You have to have those monitors there.
I understand, but I've also been involved in some of these things you're talking about.
Okay.
And I've been in some of these cleanups. In fact, Edgar Atkins had the same problem from having oil disposal there. He sold oil for years. How he cleaned it up was he went ahead and dug it out, put it in spreaders, and spread it very thin over farmland. And that was the end of it. Situation took care of. So why wouldn't it work in this case?
I don't know that they do that anymore.
Honey, it still works. That's been done the last few years. In fact, all scientists don't agree either. And I want to read you one short article here, what scientists say. It says, researchers suggest bay creates its own phosphorus. It says a researcher and a scientist at the University of Delaware, this is not a fly-by-night outfit,
okay.
University of Delaware, suggested the Chesapeake Bay's principal problem of phosphorus is not what is coming off the land around it, but what is creating its own problems, its own phosphorus. It's known as, here it says here, it shows that phosphorus buildup in the bay is a result of a process called remineralization.
Mm-hmm.
It's also what people are saying today. The farmers are being blamed. In fact, the young lady was up here a while ago.
Oh, I know
right
about
away,
that.
Talked about the farmer's problem. It's not the farmers don't create this problem, the phosphorus. The phosphorus is still around.
Yeah, but the phosphorus is part of...
I just want to make it plain what I...
The phosphorus is part of their fertilization process and the way they use that. It's a whole different... That's a different argument. That has nothing to do with oil.
Mr. Moore, I think... Here's the problem. She made an accusation in this hearing that phosphorus is part of the problem.
I'm putting out possibilities.
And I answered the problem.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're getting somewhat off point. And if, you know, what you've been reporting is what someone told you, and we don't have that person before us today, but there will be reports. And again, that we have to have agency.
I'm just trying to bring up a point that,
right,
you know,
we have
to
have agency approvals from those.
It's not you personally, but I hear that so much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming up. Sir?
Mr. Moore, I'll be brief.
Okay.
Don't say anything,
man,
don't
I
say
love
anything
that.
About phosphates.
or farms.
I will be
don't
brief.
Don't say anything about farmers.
I'm John Gilbert. I'm a member of the Village of Five Points Property Owners Association Board, and I'm representing them here tonight. I also spoke at the commission meeting, and the two concerns were very minor compared to some of the traffic issues that are being thrown out this evening. Was the need, we wanted to have a 20-foot forested buffer similar to what the Dutch Acres has between the reserves at Nassau and the Villages of Five Points, and I think that's been provided in the changes. The other thing was the 10-foot path from the Rails to Trails parking lot appeared to be connecting our walking path around Five Points, and I think that now has been eliminated. Is that correct? That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't want to connect.
You were good for your word. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? I can't see around the corner there.
No. Nope.
Okay. Is there anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone else? Seeing none, Mr. President, this time the public hearing is closed. And it's
close the public hearing.
There was one gentleman over here who jumped up, and I told him sit down because he was trying to clarify something. I don't know what if he's for or against, or if he's from outer space. I don't. Let's let him have his.
Yeah.
But I did tell him to sit
down.
Down,
sir. We won't close the public record.
No, just leave it open for a second.
We're not even
because he's over there waving his hand. And yes.
Hearing.
So whatever the topic was, please clarify.
I'll be brief. Good afternoon, Council. For the record, my name is Joseph Rossi. I'm with Environmental Alliance Incorporated. And as you heard, we conducted the brownfield investigation that was done at the site. And I just wanted to clarify a couple points. And I'll start with the latest with the oily sand issue. Now, as Mr. Wilson mentioned, you know, the oily sands were deposited there years ago. And if anything, all the water and surface infiltration would have created the problem. What we tested was the soil right above the oily sands, right beneath the oily sands, and groundwater monitoring wells in that vicinity. Because that oil was so weathered and the type of oil that it was, there were no semi-volatile organic compounds or volatile organic compounds or what's called polyaromatic hydrocarbons, which can be a threat to human health. We still recommend that there's no direct contact with that oily sand, which, you know, will go into that proposed plan of remediation. And that it could either be, you know, digging up the oily sands or having an engineering control, which would be capping, such as the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So Kate Durant may have been...
Are you doing work with Denrec or private?
Private, but we do work with Denrec, and this investigation was with Denrec.
Right.
Now, Denrec will be publishing the proposed plan of remediation.
So you performed this work for Delta or for Denrec.
Mm-hmm.
Denrec paid your fees.
No. We worked
for the developer.
For
It may sound like for a second there that he...
I didn't know.
No, but when it's a brownfield investigation...
She was in Georgia.
They're picking on me. I'm the lady and get picked on.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I just want to clarify because I got the impression for a minute, or she was thinking that it possibly could be you were working for Denrec.
Yeah.
You were working for Denrec, but you're paid by the developer. Right. That's what I
knew.
Working
for the developer.
Just clarifying it.
Yeah.
they were paid by the developer to work for the developer. They go all their stuff to Denrec.
Right,
and
right. That I don't know. I understand.
Well, even the investigation was in accordance
sure
with Denrec.
It was. Yeah.
Okay. Denrec, we create the sampling and analysis plan with the state.
Okay. I'm going to want to.
And you try to meet the Denrec requirements.
Yes,
thank
we
you,
have to
sir.
Meet
that's
the Denrec
it,
requirements.
Thank you.
Correct.
Right.
And then
thank
they
you.
Provide, yeah. We issue a draft, they provide comments, we reissue the report, and they approve it.
So the worst,
and they'll
so the worst,
publish.
The worst can be is, yeah, go in and clean up some of it. That's it, right?
What's that?
I said the worst it can be is you have to go in and clean up some of it. That has to be done.
Correct. And I'll get to that point as well. So in reference to the oily sands, even in the groundwater, the shallow groundwater that we tested, there were no components that necessarily were attributable to oily sands or petroleum compounds. Now, what is in the groundwater and what was mentioned even previously is the arsenic contamination. Now, mind you, we tested for a very long list of contaminants, and really the only, I wouldn't say the only issue, but the predominant chemical of concern that drives the risk out there is arsenic. And arsenic, you know, is mostly based on the agricultural use of the property previously, you know, historic pesticides
don't
and
say
herbicides.
That.
And there's darn farmers.
He must have had potatoes there. That's the only thing I know.
All right.
Would you drink the water?
We don't have to drink the water.
You bring bottled water?
So there is a small area that is going to be removed as part of the remediation, and that's only maybe 100 feet by 100 feet by 6 feet. That'll be, or at least that's the recommendation, that it'll be excavated by the developer.
And a safe distance between that and houses, right?
Well, this is soil. So this is soil that's being removed. So it's going to be
gone. So you're removing the so-called
contaminated.
Yeah,
you're removing the hot spot.
Bringing fill back. Yeah, okay, all right.
Jux, I suggest there's that much oil there, but we just put a well there and forget the daggone development.
And the oil is a separate issue in itself.
Could bring the price down, huh?
Yeah.
So like you said, so with the oil sands, what's called an engineering control will be in place, which is the asphalt cap or parking lot, which is very common. Now that eliminates the risk, even though we didn't have qualitative risk associated with those oily sands. A recommendation is not to have direct contact with it and have that either an engineering control or removal. So in this case, with that plan, an engineering control would suffice. And so this gets to the other point about is the developer have to notify homeowners of, you know, what has gone on at the site. One, it's a listed site with Denrec, so it would come up as a site. Now, if there is any engineering control or institutional control, it's got to be filed in what's called an environmental covenant that rides with the property and the deed. So the environmental covenant would stipulate an institutional control could be no to prohibit the use of groundwater for potable purposes. And then have the engineering control, which is the asphalt cap, which is inspected annually. And that would go in the environmental covenant. And then that would be a part of the bylaws of the condominium.
So. Okay. Are they expecting any methane to escape from that thing?
No, we didn't. With methane, you know, we have done projects.
Jackson Pitt has methane. Okay.
Correct. But we dug several, I would say, you know, upwards of 20 to 30 test pits out there. We did 100 borings. We didn't really find indications where methane would build up.
Okay, that's great. Great.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. President, since
yes.
It was not in conformity with our rules, we allowed someone to come up and speak afterwards who was a proponent. I believe that we need to ask if anyone wants to speak in opposition again
on that topic.
That focused area possibly, is it?
Right. Is there anyone? Now, it's for that purpose, responding to that. And is there anyone? Seeing none, Mr. President, we'll close the public hearing.
We'll close the public hearing. Yes. What's the pleasure of council on the public record?
I want information from Denrec and DelDOT.
About?
I want information about the way they're remediating the brownfield. I want to know exactly what they're doing. I think that they should report to us. They were not here. They should have been here. And as far as DelDOT's concerned, I want to know what are their reasons for what they're doing. This is just a mess. And so I'm not ready to vote, and I want a report from both.
I got some.
I
would, with Department of Natural Resources, we had both sides, pro and con, reference the title gut or non-title gut. So I think we need to maybe get a hold of somebody at Department of Natural Resources and clarify, is it title or is it not? And that big book about the pollution and the impact of a brownfield, we should be very cautious on moving forward in developing a site like this. The reason it's not been developed prior to this is because it's a difficult site. It's got problems. And when we had the big boom, you know, that just people looked at it and walked away from it. And there are situations where maybe development isn't suitable. Every piece of ground may not be suitable. I'm kind of like Joan, I need somebody to clarify what that report means, and I'd like to have it from a Department of Natural Resources personnel now to clarify. And then on DelDOT, I just, you know, they brought up other options. I don't know if there are any other options, and I don't know if maybe a DelDOT, it doesn't have to be an official in person or something, but if they could, Lawrence, correspond, is there any other options for this community with the access situation?
I'd like to see their rationale for what they're proposing.
Well, it could just be maybe no other option. And then,
that's what I want to know.
Right, well, that's
DelDOT's not going to give you other options for other access.
That's what I say. They may say there isn't any other option. Mm-hmm. But the prior development went through another property owner and had some arrangement, so who knows if any arrangements could be had there, but I don't think that's suitable either, but...
that would be a new application.
Yeah, right. Anyway, there may not be any response, I guess, from DelDOT, other than if Joan has some you know, a clear question or somebody else has of DelDOT, but...
Oh, I do, yeah.
I think we're stuck with Tulip Drive. It appears that way.
Well, I'm not sure that I'm not sure that's true, but I'm not convinced that that's the right answer. I've been scared enough on that road to be convinced that's just not the answer. So I want to know what they're thinking.
What we need to do, and we'll start with Mrs. Deaver. You have a question. Be specific.
Yes.
Exactly the question you
want. I want to know their rationale for the decision they made of using Tulip Drive and coming out onto Route 1 off of Tulip Drive.
You're speaking on about DelDOT.
DelDOT.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
What else did you want to know?
Denrec, I want to know how they're going to remediate this brownfield. I want to know about how safe people are. I want it in writing if these people are safe, if their wells are safe. And I want to know what kind of distance there's going to be between that old pit and a house. And, you know, I've seen things in the old country that I don't want to see anymore.
Well, I'm not sure we can control everything you're seeing, but...
Well, you know what I'm talking about. Remediation is not always done right, and I want to know what they're doing.
In Maryland.
I want to know what exactly, I want a report on what they're going to do. Okay. That's
now, isn't this...
questions she's got down?
No, I don't.
If you can shorten this up, maybe.
I don't think that's possible.
I have no idea.
We did it with Jackson Pitt. They met with us. DelDOT can meet with us and explain how they're going to do it.
You want to know from DelDOT why they're letting them access from, what's it, Tulip, whatever it is.
Tulip Drive.
No, that's DelDOT.
Question. Mm-hmm. Second question is from DenRec. You want to know how they're going to remediate any problem with this site.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
What's the third question?
That's it.
You got any more questions, George?
just the gut, which is a DenRec issue.
Title or not?
Is it title? Let's get some clarification on that. And then the borrow pit again. I would like to have a better peace of mind on building on a site, building near a site, and if somebody could tell us, you know, what's in there, what are the the negatives of building close to something like this. Okay. Long-term effects or something. So somebody...
Well, you got any questions?
Well, I assume we're having central water. That's what I figure.
Well, yeah,
I do.
That
I
is
do
correct. They are, yes.
And I assume if they're having central water, then why are we worrying about...
Maybe she's talking about wells of other people around there.
Right
know.
Next
I
did, door.
I didn't say wells.
No, just...
No, the little... Did.
You okay now? Mr. Orlett, you got any questions? I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson. Yeah.
They have wells.
Here's been in the past. Oh, God. It's our choosing about development. And then it's natural resources. They always got to be approved of natural resources. Had in the past. It's also DLDOT, soil conservation, all these other agencies have their say. And who's going to, we're going to develop. It doesn't necessarily mean because we say yes, you're going to have easy road or it's going to be developed. So where do we get ahead and say, now we got to go back and ask these people questions that they really answered ourselves. So I don't, this is where I get lost in this.
I think that some people apparently have some questions they want answered before they make a vote
sure.
on this.
Okay,
so.
That's fine.
And it's our job to do that.
Mr. Orlett, do you have any questions, sir?
I could just continue to observe and listen and
yes, that'd be a question itself, I understand.
I'm enjoying. I would say that a couple of things. I mean, I don't have a long history regarding this particular parcel. There obviously has been some issues. Some environmental issues with respect to this parcel, no question. I think everybody has that in mind here. I think that the next steps truly is what do you do with it responsibly? That is to the benefit of that of the community. And I do like the fact that we have an applicant that is finding a solution to an issue.
Yep.
Okay, so I think bigger picture, that's I think very important versus just letting these parcels just sit there and decay and rot, and be continue to perhaps be an environmental challenge. So I like the fact that there has been a solution being presented to us. Other concern that I have heard thus far today is that of the traffic, safety issues regarding the egress and the entrance and egress regarding the community. On Tulip or not. And I recall back in 2004 when the conditional use was previously approved, it was a different entry point. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So for me, I would like to know also regarding DLDOT, what is their recommendation as it relates to an entry point to this community? That is their job. That's what they are to do. That's what I would want to know. It's a very, very specific question. What is their recommendation of an access point to this community, period? Keep it simple. So those are some comments, and the others have addressed a couple of other things. But for me, the biggest issue of all, and nobody has really truly complained or rejected the fact that this perhaps could be developed. Very few, very little today. If any, more so traffic entry point, and I think that is my biggest question of all, is what is their recommendation and why before we can make a final decision.
Everybody's okay now?
Thank you,
yes,
sir.
Thank you.
Okay. You got the last
we
one.
We will leave the comment period open to have those specific questions answered for council by staff and by DLDOT and DENREC and whoever else staff needs to involve. Want to entertain a motion to defer?
Yes.
So moved.
And there'll be two separate, because we have two hearings before us, okay. And were you going to put a time limit on the...
I don't know how much longer, I was going not going to, because I'm not sure how long it's going to take them to get that answer back from those people. You know, so I hate to put say a certain time limit, and all of a sudden you're going to get it back. Man.
Let's leave it
so
open.
So we'll then. Just leave it.
Yeah.
Right. Soon we get it back, then we'll deal with it. Okay. So we're going to need two motions to defer.
Yes.
On the first one is to change the zone 1769. Motion, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Second, Mr. Arlett to defer. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. And the next one will be to defer conditional use number 2012.
Yes.
So moved.
Go ahead, but Mr. Moore,
yes.
Go ahead.
Could we make sure that after we get the comments back that there would be, just since we've had in other cases, that there would be a period of time
sure.
that the public
sure.
comments,
yes.
but in writing only. And we've done that in the past 15
great.
Days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
after we get our questions from the staff answered, there would be a 15-day period. That
well, what we would
comment.
Do, I would assume, what we will do is come back in a regular council session, under old business, and report on the answers.
Yes.
And then the public will have 15 days to comment, the public and or the developer.
Right.
In writing to what those answers are.
Specific to those.
Specific to those questions. Only to those questions only.
No new subjects.
We're done with the subjects. That's just those, okay? Now I'll entertain a motion to defer conditional use 2012.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Got it.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. We are adjourned.